time, and I'm trying to talk slower. I want to let you know I am mindful to talk slower. Pray that I succeed today. So if you want to put some little bookmarkers in your Bible, because these are places we're going to keep coming back to. All right, so John 16, that chapter, John 16, and then John chapter 14. You can write these down. I encourage taking notes. One thing I learned is there's a lot of really great preachers out there, and I'm not about to compete with them. There's always going to be somebody with a bigger personality, a more powerhouse, whatever. So I want to let you know that I just give you the word, because no one can compete with the word. So that's why I give you a lot of scripture. Someone goes, can you just like do less scripture? And I was like, actually, I can't, because it's all about him. So that's why I give you a lot of scripture, and I will go slower. So bear with me. So John chapter 16, John chapter 14, Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 8. Write those down. All right. So I kind of baited you guys in December saying I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit and deeper. And I started putting together my notes, and you know what happened? I had miles of notes. So I chopped that puppy down to about a third, and we're going to build. So next week, I'm actually going to go into specifically the gifts of the Spirit and how to move in them and how to move in them for others. But in order to do that, we got to get the heart motive right. So everybody follow me. Is everybody okay with getting the heart right? So the title of my message is this: Getting to Know the Holy Spirit's Heart. Getting to Know the Holy Spirit's Heart. My story, many of you know it because you were here for most of it. I got born again at the age of 5 watching Pat Robertson on TV. Now, I said that salvation prayer probably maybe 20 times before, but that was the one time where I turned to my mom and said, I want to be born again. I want to be born again. So I got born again saying the Pat Robertson prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for a great ministry. At age 7, I got water baptized in the Dome family swimming pool. Anybody know Jim Dome? I got water baptized in his swimming pool. Like literally, like borrowed like a bathing suit at the house, tied it on, you know, and dunk at age 7 with my dad and Jim Dome. And shortly after that, I was in a worship service. And back then we met at Valley View Elementary School. Miss Nina. And there was this lady in front of me, and I can still remember her. She had long permed brown hair. Back then it was the perm. And she was in front of me, and we were in worship, and I heard her singing. But she wasn't singing the words on the screen. Back then it was an overhead. And she wasn't even saying words I knew. She was singing a spiritual song. And at the age of 7, I listened to that. And I said, that was the most beautiful, captivating thing I had ever heard in my life. It captivated the attention of a 7-year-old little girl in an adult worship service. And I said, God, I want to do that. By the end of worship, God had given me my prayer language. I got spirit-filled. Nobody put their hand on me. I didn't go up for an altar call. I desired the fullness of his gift. And he honored the heart of a child. So it started out with one phrase. I could give it to you, but maybe another time. I remember exactly what the Holy Spirit dropped in me. And it turned in years to a fluidity of my own language, which I never stopped doing. And I want to tell you that to give you the second half of my story so you hear my heart. I grew up in church. Anybody grow up in church? They don't remember ever not going to church? I did. And, you know, it was really interesting growing up in church. I had a really tender heart towards the Lord when I was younger. And then ministry. I grew up in ministry, and I saw a lot of, I saw more good than anything. I saw some bad stuff. I did see some ugly stuff, and life got hard for my family. And it started to harden my heart. And I remember, especially as a teen, Lane remembers this, we grew up in teen church together. I remember having all these huge traveling evangelists come through, and they had these great personalities, and like, man, there would be at the end of like a revival service, the entire front strewn on the floor, people like crying in the spirit, they're rolling. That's how we got called holy rollers, you know? And God was moving. And I'll tell you, initially, it was so cool. But what happened was, over time, and like I said, and life got hard, my heart started hardening towards the charismatic experience, because all I started seeing was the show, and I didn't know why. After a while, I just noticed every traveling evangelist that came through, they left, and we went back to the same way within 2 weeks. So I was like, what's it all about? Because I got kind of tired of the experience. Never left the Holy Spirit, never stopped praying in my prayer language, though. But the show. I kind of wanted out of the circus because that's what it started to feel like. Now, I want you to hear my heart. Hear my heart. I love the Holy Spirit and I love what he does. But growing up in a church and not knowing the heart of the Holy Spirit affected me to the point where it hardened my heart, to the point where I ran away to Oklahoma and boxed the charismatic experience and compartmentalized it. And I started to begin to think a very dangerous misconception that the Holy Spirit was just kind of an emotional experience that came with it. And it was kind of embarrassing, and I stopped bringing my friends. And that was a dangerous misconception. It was a lie, and I accepted that lie, and it boxed my experience with the Holy Spirit. And I want to come to you and say, but I did find out that that wasn't his heart. Holy Spirit is a very tender, compassionate, loving, all-consuming fire, and he loves you, and he's so passionate about you. So I had to come back to his heart. And you know what drove me back to find out what the heart of the Holy Spirit was? The lost, because my generation left the church. We left the club. And I wanted to see my friends back. So I was like, well, I remember it's all about you, Lord, so I want you to show me your heart so I can win back the lost generation, so I can win back my generation. So many of you may know that a church without the Holy Spirit is very dry. It's monotonous. It is a bit of a social club. It's a social club most people check out because we are not that cool. Let's just be honest, okay? So without the free-flowing power of the Holy Spirit, there's really nothing to come back for. We start getting into becoming a religious institution. And who wants more religion in their lives? There's a bunch of other ones out there. So we're coming back once again to his heart. What is the heart of the Holy Spirit? What is his desire? What is his interest? Who is he? So we can reach that lost generation. So I've been on a lot of dates. I'm 32. I'm good at dating, but maybe not that good because I'm still single. But I'm going to let you know. Yeah, it is what it is. I'm going to let you know that I can talk to a brick wall. Got no problem talking and finding out about people. My youth know this. So to find out about someone, to get to know them, there's normally like three big questions we hit, right? Number one, who are you? Hey, name, social security number, tattoo placement, jail record, just checking. Okay. Okay. So listen, when you want to know the heart of the Holy Spirit, when you want to get to know him, we're going to ask three questions and we're going to go to the word to do it. Holy Spirit, who are you? What do you do? And what are your interests? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Who he is. We're asking him directly and go to the word. What does he do and what is he interested in? And the reason why we go back to the word is it keeps you in check. It does, man. It roots you and grounds you because you could just run straight to your prayer closet and not know who you're talking to. And they said the Holy Spirit makes you do handstands in the middle of the market and burst out into tongues. And he may just have you do that one day. But listen, I want you to get to his heart, okay? So we're going to go to the word. Okay, so the word, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. I'll learn sign language. It'll make me go slower. Okay, and listen, it's a basic scripture, but you got to know this. Your belief system always needs to be rooted and grounded in the word and not your experience. Follow? Your experiences, when they're God-ordained, will be backed by the Word of God. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God, and he is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, and it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do that is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. And that keeps us out of experiential wacko doctrine. Right? Anybody ever seen anything? Anybody going to church service and their spirit is red flagging? I remember one time, okay, I don't have time for stories, but this is pretty funny. So I was in Tulsa and I went to the spirit-filled, charismatic of charismania churches because my friend was leading worship there. And I went in the back and they're like, we got prophetic drummers. I was like, well, that's fantastic. I like rhythm. I am trying to get more in my life. I'm going to go. And so all of a sudden I saw like four guys get out their drum set, and they just seemed like really nice guys. No big deal, you know, and they got out their drum set and they're in worship and they're pounding away. And all of a sudden I looked around, and every barefooted hairy hippie in all of Tulsa came out, and they sat on the floor, took off their shoes and flipped over buckets. And then they started pounding with them. And I went, okay, I'm just going to go in the corner and pray. All right. I'm not judging. This is just a little out there. Okay, I'm out. All right. I told my friend, I love you. I love God. And if they're worshiping God in spirit truth, so be it. But I'm out. It is what it is. So listen, I'm not here to judge that. But I do know every once in a while, God's going to check something in your heart. And you need to know, once again, what is his heart and where is his heart at? It's in the Word. So when you go to the Word, you ask the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, and he'll tell you nothing but the truth. We'll study that. To lead and guide you and show himself. And when you walk in daily fellowship with him, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but he'll also reveal himself to you. He'll reveal himself to you through his Word, and he'll confirm it with things that go on in your life. He'll confirm it through other people. But as always, you got to go back to his Word, because that's him, right? Wasn't Jesus the Word made flesh? So who is he? That is our number one question. Who is he? The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is not a dove. Okay. All right. He's a person. He's not a power, but he does manifest great power. He is powerful. He's not the girly of the Godhead. People are like, oh, the Holy Spirit, he's just so, really, guys? Come on. He's the girly one. Whatever. What book are you reading, all right? Okay. He's not a mystical mist. He's not a wind. He is a person, and he is passionate about you, and he is passionate about revealing himself to you. So he is equal part of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and who? Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not a math person. My friends know this. 1 times 1 equals 1. 1 times 1 times 1, 1. It's all one. Listen, he is one. He's got one purpose, the Lord God Almighty. But he functions in 3 different ways, depending on his attributes. And if you think of water, water has the same molecular structure. Okay, H2O. I took advanced chemistry. I don't know why. I'm a pastor. I use it every day. Okay, so depending on the temperature, it changes forms, it changes function, but the molecular structure never changes. It's always water, H2O. You know what movie I'm quoting? H2O, water. So the Father, he functions in different ways. So he is the creator. He is the protector. Man, and he loves as a father to protect his kids. He's a God of justice, okay? Now, the Lord God is one, so he emulates all of these things. But when you think about what form he's in, you start to see certain characteristics, okay? Jesus' son, oh, we could talk forever on him. But man, he's big brother. He's healer. He was just this embodiment of just love and compassion that blew everything they thought about God out of the water in the New Testament. But who is this Holy Spirit? God the Father's on the throne. Jesus is in heaven on the right hand. And where is this Holy Spirit? He's here on the earth and in us. He is also the most ignored and most misunderstood person in the church. You think you have a rejection complex? Did somebody turn you down for prom twice? Cry me a river. I've been there. Okay. We rejected him. Do you know why? Because he wigs our brain out. We think if we accept the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he is going to make us undignified. Maybe we need that a little bit. We think he's going to make us weird. Normal's pretty boring. I don't know. I just want all of them I can get. I'm not really concerned about what he does to me. I just want him. So Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus urgently instructs the disciples, "Now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised." He's about to bounce. He's about to roll up into some clouds, and he's got some final parting words. "But stay here in the city." I know you're really excited. I know I rose from the dead. I know I'm real. I know you want to shout it from the rooftops. I know you want to go do the missionary thing, hit Asia, Europe, and all that jazz. But do not go. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. You know, they think there's probably about 300 people there. No, I think it was 500, excuse me. math, remember? 500 people. And he said, wait. And you know, matter how many people were in the upper room waiting? 120. So somebody do the math. 380. I did it ahead of time, so I wouldn't feel silly. Bounced. You know why? I think they got a little antsy, but we knew, we got the answer. We got Jesus. We're going to hit the rooftops. We're going to shout from mountains. We're going to Asia. I'm tired of waiting for this Holy Spirit. I got him, you know, whatever. He breathed on me. Received the Holy Spirit. God said, wait for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an option. It was a command. So parents, raise your hand if you're a parent. If you put the big candy jar, no, let's do ice cream. I like ice cream better. Okay. Gallon of coffee ice cream, if you're me. And you tell your kids, after dinner on Wednesday, you get to have the gallon of coffee ice cream. But in the meantime, just wait. What's going to happen? If you're like me, I sneak. I sneak into, like, I'm a late bird, 12:30 at night. It's hard to wait for something so good, okay? So listen, it was a command, it wasn't an option, and it was very vital, very, very vital for them to wait. And yes, it was to receive power. Jesus just told us that. But we fixate on that because he is so much more. So much more. And I'm head over heels in love with him for it. I just love the fact that it's just hard to say the Holy Spirit in one word. In fact, they literally can't. We'll get to that later. The Greek word literally doesn't translate to one word. John 16, verse 7 says, I am telling you nothing but the truth. Basically, I know it's hard to believe. When I say it is profitable for the best for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, in the Amplified, it says, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come into close fellowship with you. He is so beautifully layered in his personality. The Holy, like, anybody been married a long time and still love the person they're marrying? Every spouse, raise your hand, otherwise you will be in trouble. Okay? You still love them because you're growing together and you're still finding out new things. That's what makes it so adventurous because, you know, you're growing with them. They're finding out new stuff all the time. Holy Spirit is just like that. Even Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. Man, he walked so close with the Holy Spirit. He didn't get to walk with Jesus. So all that New Testament writing that he wrote literally just came from fellowshipping the Holy Spirit and him revealing Jesus Christ's heart. So what's the difference? We're going to do a real quick review. What is the difference between Holy Spirit in the Old Testament versus Holy Spirit in the New? A lot. Back in the Old Testament, he came upon maybe a handful of people in a generation, if you were lucky. Like, if you're lucky, and normally, if you could kind of compartmentalize them, it was prophets, priests, king. And if you were one of the billions of other people at that time, it was a bummer to be you, because you had to hear from a prophet, a priest, and a king the will of God. And let's be real, humans tend to sometimes kind of put our own little spin on it, you know what I mean? Emotionally speaking. Some people are like, why does the Old Testament feel so harsh? I was like, well, it was really rough being a prophet, priest, and a king back then. And God spoke truly, but he, you know, sometimes he was a little heartbroken over what was going on. So listen, the great thing, okay, so one, all right, let me go back here. So Old Testament, Holy Spirit came upon. So if I had a big thing of water and I dumped it on this cup that is upside down, it sprays on everybody else around you, right? So they still hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through someone else, but he came temporarily upon people. And you know, the bummer was there were 400 years of silence from the old to the new, 400 years where God wasn't speaking to anybody. That's like the dark ages of the ancient world. So what happened is Jesus came and turned the world flip upside down and said, I'm going to speak not just to prophets, priests, and kings. I'm going to speak to anybody that wants to hear, anybody that wants to believe. And I'm going to pour out my spirit so strong, and it's going to fill you up to the point of overflowing. Do you know what fill comes from? It comes from the word meaning satiate. And if you're like me, I still had to look up what that word meant. It means to fill to the point of excess, to supply with excess. So if you go this fill, doesn't mean come right to the brink of the top, just enough for you. It's to overflow. Pour, 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 pour. Endless supply, grace upon grace, glory upon glory. And it was to overflow and touch other people. So what does it be, and this is a different one. Go back to December. You can get it online. I talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit of grace. I'm not going to go there. But if you want to know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a bottle of seltzer water. And if I shake it up really, really hard, shake it up. Or I was at Vanessa's house and I didn't shake it and it sprayed all over the kitchen. Thank you, Ronnie. Ronnie helped me clean it up. Okay. Shake. Stir yourself up in the most holy faith, praying and singing in the Holy Spirit. Stir yourself up. He's in you. You're shaking it up. And what's going to happen? I'm too nice to do this. I like the cops. They are just, you should get to know them. They are wonderful, sweet people. I love you too much. You shake it up enough, what's going to happen? You pop this top. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know you can keep your tongue, lips shut? Doesn't spray on anybody? But it's sure fun shaking on the inside, isn't it? But what was the purpose? To overflow and spray everybody. So the Holy Spirit now lives in us permanently. He doesn't come temporarily upon us. Remember the cup upside down? He flipped it over by the blood of the Lamb, and he comes inside us, stays in us permanently. And when we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, when we are being filled, that him overflows into the world around us. So I'm gonna split a hair real quick, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I'm going to dig into it next week when we're going to talk more about the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues and so forth. But there are two separate experiences instantly received when asked. Now denominations get a little edgy over this. So I want to let you know, there are some times when it happens all at once, but there are two distinct experiences that happen. And I want you to go, I had you bookmark Acts chapter 8. And this one, keep a bookmarker in your Bible, because there are 1, 2, 3, I have 5 examples of this, but I'm just going to give you one today. So Acts chapter 8, and we're going to not read it all, but if you want to skim visually and look at Acts chapter 8, 5 through 17, two separate experiences received instantly. Number one, when you asked the Lord to come into your life, I believe in you. Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10, believe in your heart, say with your mouth, and you're saved. It's real simple. It doesn't have to be a mile-long prayer. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. And if you read scripturally in Acts, it was probably just that simple. There wasn't a memorized prayer in the back of their little Bible Torah to read, okay? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again for my sins? I say that with my mouth. I'm born again. Instantly received. Second one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, water baptism is a symbol of salvation. The old you passing away, the new you becoming new. So salvation, your spirit is instantly made new and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. There is a portion of him in you. All right, so what's this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, the only time I'm going to split hairs with you guys. Okay, Acts chapter 8, 5 through 8. Philip was sent to Samaria and a big old revival hit. And this is the good kind, okay? They had never seen this stuff before. All right, so a revival hit and people were born again. It said Philip in verse 5. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently, and Philip, because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs that he did, many evil spirits were cast out. Many who had been paralyzed were healed. There was great joy in the city. So this is full-on revival going on. And people are born again. They believed in Christ Jesus. All right, now for the sake of time, go back and read this because it's really cool. The power of God was moving so strong through Philip that Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy it. Hey, can I get this Holy Spirit? Can I write you a check? Do you take COD? Because it was that powerful. All right. So now verses 14 through 17, follow me. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they got born again. They entered into the kingdom of God. There are all different ways of saying this. They sent Peter and John there, not to verify it because they were skeptics. They sent Peter and John there to give them the second half. So Peter and John, as soon as they arrived, in verse 15 it says, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. But wait, they're believers. They've been born again. They've entered into the kingdom of God, okay? The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid hands on these believers, not to get him saved, doubly blessed. He laid hands on him to receive the Holy Spirit. And there was evidence. We can go into that later. But listen, the Holy Spirit came upon them. There were two separate experiences. Now listen, I don't go to experiences for doctrine, but there are other places in the Bible, and we'll talk about it next week, when man, salvation and the Holy Spirit, and they saw the evidence. The evidence of the Holy Spirit initially normally is tongues, but it's also a Spirit-filled life. Okay, came like back to back. But you got to get born again before you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody on the same page on that one? A, B, equals C, powerful life. Okay. So, all right. So you get a portion of the Holy Spirit. He comes and renews your spirit. Remember last time I preached, I had a little box up here. Get this big, sparkly, amazing box of a renewed life, a renewed spirit, and God that lives in you. But remember, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? To be filled to the point of excess, to overflowing. And that's what he's talking about. Yes, you have him in you. Yes, the life, power, and nature of God is in you. But do you want more of him? Do you want all that you can get? Do you want to overflow? And I'll tell you what, most Christians today are going to say, we're good. We're good. I don't want to roll on that floor and do all those crazy things. I want to do handstands. You know, I don't want to be shouting and jumping. I don't want to be a fool. I still don't. I'll be honest with you. Okay? But what does it really focus on when you read Acts? Man, when there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit, there are signs and there are wonders and there are miracles, and they are the dinner bell for the lost. It's a sign and it's a wonder to unbelievers. Man, you want to see the Holy Spirit really bless and show up really strong? Adjust. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. See where I'm going? Get your heart for the lost. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will take up as much as you of you that you allow. And listen, there's nothing... When you get your life right with God and he comes inside of you and he makes your life so new and frees you from addiction, frees you from sin, and you got joy and peace in your life for the very first time, and you're going to the... And one day you're going to pass and live a long life and go to heaven. That's a beautiful thing. So don't go smack people upside the head trying to make them feel guilty. But I'll tell you what, when you look around you, like I do, and I look in this neighborhood and I see so many lost and hurting people and I want to reach them, I want more of him, and I want him to consume my whole life so I can. But he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. But he's a jealous God. It says that in James. Remember, God is a consuming fire. He will take all of you that he can get, and he is passionate for everything that you have in your life. John chapter 14, verse 16. Once again, we're answering the question, what does he do? John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. John 14, 16. Okay, the word another comes from the Greek word meaning another of a same kind. We're going to play a little game. I got three pieces of fruit up here. So Jesus said, hey, it's better I go away because another helper is going to come. Is he going to give you an orange? Hey, this, I like orange. Anybody like oranges better than apples? Still fruit. No, he's going to give you another of the same kind. He's going to give you another apple. So Jesus left, and he's going to give you another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit. So it's not like you're getting gypped or it's something different. The word Holy Spirit, the word helper in here, comes from the Greek word parakletos. I do this because those of you who are used to my dad will just appreciate it. So the word parakletos is actually the word for Holy Spirit. It means helper. And it actually means one to come alongside you. But there's this guy a long time ago in a faraway place. His name is William Barclay. He wrote this book of New Testament words. And he said, it is impossible to find one word that translates for parakletos. There is not one word to fully describe the Holy Spirit, the helper. So he goes, okay, that's why we have in the Amplified all those other ones, comforter, counselor, advocate, standby, guide, all these things. So I'm going to break down a few of them, not all of them for you. So the word parakletos, come, someone that comes very closely alongside you, was used back then, a long time ago in a faraway place in the New Testament, to describe lawyers and counselors. The word helper, actually, one of the translations of the word helper, it means the prisoner's friend. Anybody felt like their life felt imprisoned at a time? The Holy Spirit comes alongside you very closely as your friend, and he takes up your cause to win. Because, man, he's the best lawyer. Because he slaps the blood of Jesus on the table and says, case made. Case made. The Lord helper also comes from this word supplier. So everything that you need in life, all things that pertain to life and godliness are yours. And he specializes in your case. So the Holy Spirit permanently comes in you and is called closely alongside you. Now there's some unscriptural songs. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I'm begging you. Take out your Holy Spirit from me. He comes alongside you. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. And he's good for direction and counsel and instruction. So I'm going to talk the word comforter because I experienced this one when my dad passed away. When my dad passed away, it happens like most things happen. You are so overcome with grief, you can't see straight, you can't think straight, and you start to just feel numb. And it is really hard to then speak in front of 800 people at your dad's funeral. I came to understand what the word comforter meant. On a cold, dry day, cold, wet day, excuse me, and you walk inside and someone had just done a load of laundry and you wrap that comforter blanket all over you, there is no better feeling in the world. But that only scratches the surface of what comforter means. Comforter, according to Wycliffe, the very first translator of the Bible, he actually interchanges the word comforter with strengthener. Unless you're like, what? Seriously? Apples and oranges? Actually, still apples. Comforter and strengthener. And I don't have time to go through all the cases, but he translates them interchangeably. The word comforter, Wycliffe says, come from the Latin word fortress. Comforter translates from the word fortress. And you know what that means? The word comforter, fortress, brave, strong, courageous, fearless, lion-hearted, and tough. Means like a warrior, quote, like a warrior that meets challenges with such strength that it defies all odds. Sound like this guy called Gideon? Judges chapter 6, don't go there. I preached on it before. Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 34. It says, when the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon, remember, he was weak sauce guy, hiding in the wine press, trying not to fight. He was like fleeing. He ran to Canada because he didn't want to fight in the army. He's hiding in the wine press. And the angel says, hey, you, courageous, fearless warrior. And it says in verse 34, the Holy Spirit came upon him and clothed him, wrapped himself so far around Gideon, smeared himself all over Gideon. Anointing? But Gideon, let's be real, was an irrecognizable man. It said the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon, Judges 6, 34, clothed himself, wrapped himself around him, if you read it in the Amplified, and then all the armies were drawn to him. He made him a leader. Gideon didn't make himself a leader. He was not a self-made man. He didn't go to Borders, pick up a book on leadership, and make himself a leader. He humbly accepted the Holy Spirit's call, called alongside closely, and the Holy Spirit so wrapped himself around Gideon that he changed him into a spirit-filled, courageous warrior that against all odds fought God's battle, and God won the battle. Comforter, strengthener. And I'll tell you, I experienced that firsthand at my dad's funeral. Just in case you didn't know, I'd never talked to a room full of adults until that day. I was hiding in the youth department, God was blessing me, but it was time to step out. I also woke up that day with strep throat. Never had strep throat in my life. I didn't get sick. How about that for Satan? Woke up with strep throat that day. Went to the doctor. I did. I'll be honest with you. Normally, strep throat takes a couple days to kick in. I needed it kick in within 5 hours. So I went to the doctor. They gave me some medicine. I'm being honest with you guys. But there is nothing in you that wants to speak at your dad's funeral. In fact, everybody wanted to speak at my dad's funeral, but I knew I was supposed to. And then I felt the Holy Spirit wrap himself so far around me. And I felt strength rise up and boldness rise up. And you want to know something really crazy? I felt joy rise up. And when I preached for the very first time in front of 800 adults, I didn't feel anything but him. And it was beautiful. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He comes so close alongside you. He doesn't let you fight battles on your own. But a spirit of bravery and courageousness and strength comes upon you where it's not you facing the giant. Look up David. But him wrapping himself, smearing himself so far on you, and he'll take all of you that you give him, where people don't even recognize who you are. And let's be honest, most of us would rather have it that way anyway. One thing that I am constantly having to go over with my students, my youth in the college age, is the very fact that many of them wrestle with their salvation. They question their salvation. Oftentimes, Satan really attacks your mind if you don't have a date and a time that you said that little prayer. So that's why I'm always pounding in them Romans 10, 9 through 10. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth, you're born again. So if you're a person that Satan really messes with your head, am I born again? Am I saved? Am I going to heaven? Have I entered into the kingdom of God? Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. You can write this down. You don't have to go there. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And you receive God's Spirit when he has adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father," which means Daddy God. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He affirms in our heart our adoption into God's family. No matter what you're going through, no matter where your emotions are at, no matter how much fear and doubt Satan is messing with your head on, he says, "For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm, witness, and testify that we are God's children." If Satan is continually berating your mind of, am I saved? Am I walking with him? I tell you, it's a really good time to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit and get filled. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit, man, he just wipes out, he eradicates all fear and doubt of where you're at in his family. I have some youth in my youth group that have been adopted. I grew up in the foster care system, and some heroes adopted them. And so they have new moms and dads. But I do know for adopted youth especially, they start to doubt if their parent loves them, if they're really my mom and dad, or if it's just legal on paper. And it's the same way in the family of God. Satan will mess with your head. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the doubt washes away. I'm his child. Abba, Father, Daddy, God, I rest in you. I'm in your family. And you'll never leave me or forsake me. He also teaches us and guides us. And I'm going to teach a lot next week on guiding, how you hear the Holy Spirit and he guides you. So John 14, 26 says, "The Father sends the advocate, the helper, my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." He's going to teach you and he's going to remind you. So that's why you have to be in the Word, so he can remind you of something that you read. And he guides us. John 16, 13 says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes," and the Amplified says, "he will guide you into all truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the full truth, it's the truth. For he will not speak his own message of his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come in the future." I am going to skip some of my notes here for the sake of time. Come next week. I'm going to tell you how God tells you what's going to come in your path. I'm going to teach you how to hear it. Huh? Don't I need to go to Pastor D or Pastor Sherry or Elder so-and-so or a TV preacher and call their hotline? I'm going to teach you, it says in the Word, how to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is hearing from the throne room and telling you about your life and future. So for the sake of time, I'm going to skip it, but God's actually told me a bunch of things, and I actually saw them come to pass in my life. So come next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 12. Go back and study it. It talks about how the Holy Spirit reveals mysteries. Mysteries. Stuff that only God knows, but it says the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he will reveal these mysteries to you. I'm going to teach on it next week. Go back and study it. It is real fun. Go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just read the whole chapter. It's incredible. I'm going to teach on it next week. Okay, the next one. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate communicator, giving us access to God. Ephesians 2:18 says, it is through him, Jesus, that we both now have an introduction through Jesus. We have access by one Holy Spirit to the Father so that we are able to approach him. You ever played that telephone game for the sake of time as a little kid? So if we're down here, and Jesus and the Father up in the throne room, right hand, left hand, you know, the Father, the throne, and I got something I need to say, and I need direction, I need guidance, I need wisdom, I need to know what to do with my child that is just running hog wild and not listening to me. Holy Spirit, show me. And the Holy Spirit in this game, this is you, this is us down here, these are the Father and the Son up in the throne with all the answers, and this little line of communication, that direct line of communication, is what the Holy Spirit acts of. He doesn't say anything except what he hears the Father says. We just read that, remember? He doesn't say anything but what he hears the Father say. He is your direct line of communication with God the Father and God the Son. All three are one. But he's the ultimate communicator. Ultimate. And the last one, he empowers us. Acts 1:8. Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. York, Pennsylvania, the United States, and to all the world. Remember, it's his last words, and it was a command because you needed it. They're getting antsy, but they needed the power. Him, power comes with him to reach the world. It is hard to light up the world with a AA battery flashlight. It's really good to hook up to him, the conduit of a nuclear power plant. And that doesn't even begin to give him justice. When there is a lost ship, I'm a big water person, I scuba dive. When there is a lost ship, I've toured a lot of lighthouses, Miss Joan, I know you have too. You can't help that ship that's miles out on the shore with your little AA battery flashlight. You need a lighthouse. And when you receive and infill yourself with the Holy Spirit, stirring yourself up, shaking yourself up, you become a lighthouse, a beacon of light to reach that lost ship and bring them home into safety. Lost, found. So that brings me, and I'm wrapping up on this one. What is the Holy Spirit interested in? This is the defining moment on your date with God. This is what separates the shallow bless me mongers from the servants. Because when someone sees the Holy Spirit as an experience, as a power, that God, I want more power! When someone sees him as a person, an intimate, amazing, awe-inspired, where we come with the word awesome, person, do you know what we say? God, I want to give you more of my life. Take all of me. Fill me up from my head to my toe. So God has three primary interests. You don't want to know what they are? You can write it down. It's real easy. Number one, the lost. His number one interest is revealed in the Gospels through Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's all revealed in the Gospels. His number one interest is for the lost. John 3:16, I don't need to read it. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, the Amplified Bible says, for the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The Holy Spirit, John 16:7-10, came that the lost would find Jesus. I like this in the Message translation, John 16:7-10. Jesus said, it is better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend, aka the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he'll expose error of the godless world's view of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he'll show them, the lost, that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, and that righteousness comes from above where I am with the Father out of their sight. The Holy Spirit's number one interest above all things is for the lost. Acts reveals the second interest. Number one is the lost. Number two is being spirit-filled. Jesus came and preached the kingdom of God, and that to enter into the kingdom, that's how we're saved, right? The lost are found. John 7, 37 through 39, you don't have to turn there. Jesus stood and he shouted. He didn't do a lot of shouting, but this time he shouted. And he said, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given. Jesus had not entered into his glory yet. Jesus commanded us, remember Acts 1:8, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus' interest is for the lost and that you be spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit's interest is obviously that you're spirit-filled. Jesus reveals the heart of his Father, doesn't say anything that the Father hasn't already said. So if Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have an interest in you being spirit-filled after we reach the lost, we might want to start paying attention to it. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, please study, read the whole chapter, it's incredible. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting around in one place, and suddenly there was a sound of heaven, like a roaring mighty wind, and they were filled. Verse 3, it says, and what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Do you know what happened? Read the whole chapter. It was a sign and a wonder to the lost because they all spilled out into the streets speaking all these different languages. And listen, I'm going to talk next week. There are four different kinds of tongues. There are two for public and two for private. I'm for all of them. But this one here is a public view of tongues. And this particular one, they were actually saying tons of different languages, 120 probably different languages, different dialects. And all these people, because this was kind of like the DC of the Middle East, from all these different countries going, whoa, 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 you do not look like my people, and you're saying their language, and you're telling and proclaiming the things of God. It was a sign of wonder. It caught their attention. They all started gathering. What's going on? Signs and wonders, dinner bell for the lost. Four uses of tongues. I'm for all of them. Number one, public use. It's to reach the lost. Jesus was so empowered by the Holy Spirit that 3,000 people were baptized. Didn't even say how many people heard or were moved or God through the Holy Spirit was working on their hearts later to give their lives to God. But 3,000 people right there, I believe, let's get baptized, let's do this thing. Great fruit. So why is it that when Christians get spirit-filled, why is it that when Christians receive the Holy Spirit, why is it that we get these gifts of the Spirit that we turn our attention to the church and not the lost? That is the crux of why I had to preach this before I preach next week. The purpose of his Holy Spirit and his heart is for the lost. And when all we want to do is stand around in our Bless Me Club, and I can teach Corinthians, I'm going to teach it next week, but we have to get your heart right. Because it's not for you to sit around a circle and bless each other. It's not for you to sit around a circle and prophesy over each other. It's for you to get out there in the grocery store and stand in line at Wise, and you see this checkout lady, and you go, ma'am, I just want you to know that the Lord told me that your son's going to come home. Can I pray for you? In fact, I'll come back after your shift even. Let me spend some time with you and tell you how God's speaking to you. That's how he likes to do it. So the purpose of being spirit-filled is intended to complete the cycle, to receive salvation, to enter into the kingdom of heaven so we can go reach the lost with signs, wonders, power, and so that the lost might be saved. So the lost might go, become spirit-filled, and go reach the lost. This is why our churches, in Jesus' name this year, are going to grow so big. Our churches, all churches, are going to burst out the doors, burst out the walls. Do you know why? Because we're going to complete the cycle. The number one interest of the Father is the lost. The number one interest of the Son is the lost. The number one interest of the Holy Spirit, all three are one, is the lost. The number two interest of all three of them is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because it reaches the lost. And the lost become found. They enter into the kingdom. They enter into a powerful life. You know what the third interest is? And this is next week. Third interest of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is spiritual maturity. And it's found in the epistles. All the stuff after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those books after deal with spiritual maturity. Because he knows we were going to get a little stuck at the church. He knew that we were going to get a little stuck in our Bless Me Club and get spiritually constipated. It's going to be really hard to get outside the four walls and go reach the lost. So I'm going to teach you how to grow up spiritually and move in these gifts, because the Holy Spirit is passionate about you. He's passionate about revealing himself to you, revealing his heart to you, to reach the lost, to become spirit-filled, to grow up in spiritual maturity, and walk in all the gifts that he's provided to you so we can do what? Reach the lost. Adam, you could play that song, and praise God. I want to give an opportunity for people to pray, and I'm going to dismiss you guys. So if the elders would please come forward. Many people are not about the interests of God. We're about our own interests. And so I want to give everybody an opportunity. If you know, if you're feeling convicted in your heart by the Holy Spirit, not beat up, but that tweak in your heart, to go, God, I may be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not passionate about the lost. Maybe I was, but I'm just kind of got stuck. I want you to come forward, because people are going to pray with you, and God's going to stir up the passion to reach the lost. You may be sitting here going, I am not. Yes, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I pray in the Spirit, but I'm not being filled all the time. And it says, and I've taught on it, that people can lay their hands on you and pray with you and build yourself up to the point of overflow. Or you may be sitting here going, I've heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and there is nothing in that that I really want. I'm really not about just, I don't want to embarrass myself. I just don't want to give up control. But I want to reach my family. I want to reach my neighbors. I want more of you to reach them. And you're the only one that has the power to do it. So therefore, I'm getting over myself. And Holy Spirit, you are a gentleman. And you will take all of me that I allow you. And today's the day I get over myself and all my fears. And I will receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And whatever come with it, come what may. Because I want you and all that I can get. I want your heart.